Welcome, Kryptonians. Tonight, a daughter loses her mother to Brainiac. A rankless citizen is gunned down by the Sagittari. And we have a very special guest on the show tonight. This is the Krypton After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is epic for you to come in like this.
My cape's flowing in the wind. That's what that. That's whoa!
Oh, look at that! Whoa.
I actually just went to China and came back.
That was impressive.
That was fast.
How was it over there?
It was cool.
Good.
I mean, as far as it can be. Welcome everybody to Krypton After Show. Hello, everybody. My name is Anthony Becerra, and with me I have...
Hi, guys. It's Candace Cruz.
And also, we have a very special guest here. We have Corey Trench in the house.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Happy to have you.
You guys match. I didn't get the memo.
Yeah. What's up?
I'm sorry.
Get your super gear on.
You know what? I'll be the incognito.
You can have my
glasses.
Well,
perfect.
You have a good Lana Lang going right now.
Yeah. See? Look at that, guys. I like this.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it's a good look, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
I like it. I dig it.
Sure.
All right, so let's get into this episode.
Such a good episode.
So real quick, yes. So we're doing Krypton episode 3, and it was the Rankless Initiative.
Mm.
Okay, so real quick, just how we're going to break down this show for you. We're going to do the interview with Corey. We're going to go right into the raid on the Rankless, and then after we're going to follow up on Seg's hunt for the parasitic sentry, and we're going to discuss, if we have time, some news and gossip as well as our special segment, the Character Corner, and finally we're going to wrap up with some predictions. So let's just get into it right now. So Corey, you are an assistant editor on the show.
That's correct.
You worked on 4 episodes. Can you briefly go over which ones?
I did. So I worked on the pilot. Episode 104 that premieres next week.
Nice.
7 and the finale, which is going to be pretty epic.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun. No, really I'm so excited.
I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't wait. 10 episode season. We're barely on the 3rd, so it's good. We got 7 more weeks. Ooh.
Yes.
Can't wait. All right. So for those watching and don't know exactly what an assistant editor does, can you please enlighten them?
Yeah, so an assistant editor... they assist the editor. And what that entails is, when we get all the footage in from Belfast, because that's where we shoot, we have to organize it all in Avid. That's what we use to cut.
Okay.
And so all the footage makes sense to the editor so that they got all their clips. It's all in a bin organized in such a way where they can just start cutting. And so once the assembly is done, the editor's assembly is done, we go in and we do all the sound effects. And it's all temporary because our sound team replaces everything later. But when you're playing a rough cut back for producers, directors, and for the studio, it's got to sound like a show. It's got to sound like it's gonna sound when it airs. So we do everything. We do all the crowd sound effects, the laser sound effects, skimmers flying through the air, and stuff like that. So yeah, and there's a lot of work with that. And then when we're done with that, like the delivery aspects of the show, like we're prepping everything for all the visual effects houses. We're prepping everything for it to be color corrected and sound mixed. And archiving everything at the end. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It's a huge team effort.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. There's a lot of people involved on the show. Sure.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're like the unsung heroes for like the preparation before things get shipped out to get that final touch on it.
Yeah. 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 I am very much Clark Kent.
Hey, you want the glasses?
Oh,
you
have your own glasses. I have the glasses. But when it's time, like when there's a problem, they come off and then.
That's when the show comes out.
Like, you gotta save the day,
Awesome.
Well, I mean, you said that you have been a huge Superman fan throughout your entire life.
Yes.
What is it like working on this show?
It's a dream come true, honestly. Oh. I've been a fan since I was 2 years old. If you go to my Twitter, like I have a picture where my mom made me the costume.
She did the
shirt and the cape, like because you couldn't buy that stuff, like. Right. Target or something like nowadays, like kids are so spoiled. They get all. They can be Batman, they can be Superman, they can be whoever they want to be. But back then, my mom made all that stuff. And then, I read the comics, watched all the movies. So when this came along, I was like, yeah, like I'm in.
Oh, that's awesome.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like this is a show I'd actually watch.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And can you just run us through a quick, like, what's a day in the life for you? When on working on set and everything?
So we're never on set because, that's in Belfast. But at the office, so on a typical day when we have dailies come in, I'll come into work and there'll be a drive, an external hard drive ready with all the footage on it. Mm-hmm. I'll bring it in to the Avid and then start organizing everything for the editor. They'll start cutting. And then, you know, we're constantly getting footage in. So mm-hmm. it's like there's never a dull moment there. And so, you know, I'm organizing binders with the scripts, and then I'm you know, just doing all that kind of stuff. And then, like I said before, like when it's time to do sound effects, I do sound effects and all that kind of thing. But it varies because like sometimes I get a chance to cut like the finale. I have a scene that mm-hmm. my editor Steve Haugen graciously let me cut. So I'm really excited about
that.
That's
so cool.
So I'll have to come back.
Have you talked on that?
What?
I said, well, have you talked on that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What was it like seeing it on TV?
yeah, dude, totally. And and as an aside, if you guys were at the Comic-Con panel for Krypton, mm-hmm. I cut the trailer for that.
That's
awesome. Yeah, that was really fun. It was just for the panel, but me and Andrew Charlton, post-producer, we both worked on that. So we were both really proud of it.
Nice.
Yeah, so stuff like that comes up. I mean, from day to day, things will come up. Mm-hmm. And you're just in it the whole time.
So I've also noticed you worked on Teen Wolf and also The Gifted.
Yes, that's correct.
And I was just wondering, like, what separates this apart from those projects?
So I would say Teen Wolf, such an ambitious show, and we had a lot going on, and we had one visual effects house that did tremendous work, used visual effects, and Gifted, I would say we had a little bit more visual effects houses working on that, mm-hmm. A lot more going on since it's a Fox, it's a network show, and then Sci-Fi. This has been the biggest mm-hmm. amount of visual effects mm-hmm. that it's a visual effects heavy show, but the visual effects really tell the story. So like mm-hmm. you know, we can't just have people walking around green screens and stuff like that. Like we have to build the world.
Right.
So this is the first world building show. Like we can't have Seg answering a cell phone. You know, hey, what's up? You know, he's got to have a Kryptonian. Like, what does that sound like? The Kryptonian communicators,
right.
Like the blasters, like all that stuff has to be sound designed, and all that stuff has to have visual effects to it. So that is unique in and of itself. The world building aspect of it. It's mm-hmm. like we have to really think about what these things look like and sound like.
Wow. Yeah. And all the, so you have to think about all the little meticulous, like yes. little details that people don't wouldn't even think about.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So like how does that work? How do you start on creating such little small details for a world that doesn't actually exist? Like where do you draw inspiration for that?
So it begins with the writer. So mm-hmm. our writing team and Cam Welsh, our showrunner, like they, you know, their scripts are the blueprint mm-hmm. for what the world is going to be right. like. But then, you know, obviously the director has their say in how that gets shot, and then our visual effects team, which is on set, mm-hmm. you know, they're the ones like, okay, you might use this camera angle, or we might need this shot to kind of help with that. So our visual effects team is constantly getting all the information, all the footage, and assessing it and seeing what can be pulled up. And our showrunner, you know, Cam is involved early mm-hmm. on, like very early on. We're like, mm-hmm. we're talking before the editor's cut. Like we're already looking at the stuff and looking at concept art. Mm-hmm. Like we have a concept artist and a production designer. It's like they've drawn out all this stuff. Like this is what this is supposed to look like. That's what that's supposed to look like. But then like you get the footage and it might be something different. There might be something in the footage that kind of pushes it further mm-hmm. or maybe it makes it look a little different. So you have to kind of course correct from there. So it's a little bit of really planning it out, which is what we do mm-hmm. in post, and also working with our showrunner Cam. But then also sometimes we manipulate stuff after the fact. Mm. So,
wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I got to say, there's so much. There's just so many little details.
Yeah, there are.
That are just oh my god, can't even.
Yeah,
like. That's why it's such a collaborative effort because it has to be so many people think of just
everybody,
like what's the sound gonna, like a sound of a blaster gonna sound like.
Yeah, all these things have been discussed.
Wow. But I feel like that's like a really cool challenge.
It is.
At the same time, like overwhelming, yes, but it's like you get to create something completely new. Like
totally.
Have you been able to give any input on like where like all of your comic book fandom, you know, like have you been able to chime in on different things?
You know, here and there, but like I would say for the most part, the writing has, you know, Cam is a fan,
right?
Huge fan of Superman. So a lot of the stuff he's written is like, oh yeah, that's from this and that. And You know, so he knows all that stuff. But I'll get a question occasionally. But it's always like something that has never been addressed in the comic books at all. Like, what is, you know, what is a Kryptonian mile? Like, what is that in Kryptonian? Like, it's not a mile, but what's it called? And I'm like, I'm sure there's a term or something that I just don't know. But like a lot of those little small details, like the writers all look at.
You have to, I feel like, with this type of show.
Yeah. Like you literally can't let any little thing go.
Yeah,
because people will point it out. They will. So
yeah.
So,
Is there like a lot of pressure that you feel that you have to do right by the fans?
I felt a lot of personal pressure on this. I mean, I knew it was going to be great, but like I'm a fan, so like I want all the fans to like it.
Mm-hmm.
That was very important to me. So like when the premiere was happening, you know, I was getting heart palpitations. You know, like how are people going to react to this? Because everybody else too is huge fans. Like everyone behind the scenes is a fan of the show and a fan of Superman. And if they weren't before, they are now.
Yeah.
So it's like everybody is so heavily invested in the show doing well. So the fact that people responded to it really well means a lot. And also people that we won over with that were non-Superman fans. That, like, I don't even like Superman, but I like this. And that speaks volumes to the show's content.
Mm-hmm. So. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm more on the latter. Like, I'm not. It's not like I dislike Superman. I just was never really.
You just want to wear the cape.
Yeah, I mean, I love the cape.
That's the only reason why he signed up for the show. He was like, "I have a cape. Let's do this." Right?
Yeah, they promised me tights too, but they never came through with that. So I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah. No, but going back to working on this show, what was the pacing like working on this show? Was it like super fast? Things were coming at you at 100 miles per hour, then you had to just get it done, or
it. Yeah, I mean, it would come quickly, and it was sort of a lot of like when the footage initially starts coming in, it's like, okay, we got to get this put all together so we can see like the scope of it and know where we can start working with the visual effects. But you know, it's been really relaxed lately because everything's still happening. We're still finishing the shows, but I mean, everything's locked. Picture-wise, and now we're working on visual effects and the music. So it's sort of like a lot of stop and go kind of thing. But everything's been planned out so well that we have that kind of room to, you know, make the world more detailed, like you guys have been pointing out. It's like with the visual effects and the sound and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, in the beginning, like, yeah, there was a huge rush to, like, get the pilot kind of finished. And then assess from there, like, do all the focus group screenings, all that kind of stuff. And then... you know, the second episode, you know, that would be another rush to get that out. But as soon as, like, episode 3 was, you know, this current episode, was finished, like, I think there was a nice, you know...
sigh, really.
normal schedule that for everybody. But, yeah, I mean, everybody works really hard on these episodes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's good stuff.
Do you have anything else?
No, not right now, but I'm sure I will come up with something as we go along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to ask one last question before we get into the episode. So you're a huge fan of this show.
Yes.
And a lot of people who work on this show are also huge fans.
Yes.
And I would just like give you the moment to personally just address, like, what have you loved most about working on this show, and also what do you want fans to take away from this show?
So what I love the most about working on this show is it's different from anything that has been done with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing you've seen a million times. It's unique. And if I was going to work on any Superman project, it would be this one, for the pure fact that we can add something new to the mythos. And if I can add even a small detail about my favorite character's mythos, that's going to be one of the best things that I could ask for as a comic book fan.
That's huge. Yeah.
What I want people to take away is that I want people to know that this show has legs. I think you're gonna see a lot of great stuff come out of it. And the cast, I think, is wonderful. I think the writing is really great. I think our post team is really great. And I just want everybody to know that we're putting a lot of hard work into this, and we're really happy that everyone's enjoying it. So,
I'm interested to see how far along it goes. You know, because like you said, you are creating a whole new world that hasn't been shared within this realm. So, like, how it's going to develop and how it's going to continue on after one season, because you have 10 episodes. Like,
yeah.
How is it going to evolve and change and still fall within the realm of like what people love? So I'm excited to see it. It'll be cool.
Yeah, it's
going to
be awesome.
Yeah.
Is there like already plans for the next season, or like how do you know how far along they have, like, in a sense?
I have a sense of it.
Ooh.
I feel like you almost with this type of world, you have to have like almost a map.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like completely structured, like, but like some type of like a timeline, right?
I think what current studios want you to do now, or networks, they want you to plan for multiple seasons before you write even the pilot. They want to see like what your plan is. But yeah, I have a sense of what is to come.
Ooh. Do you have to have a sense of that as you go into the editing room?
It's good to have it, a frame of mind. Yeah, but I would say that we don't get too far ahead of ourselves.
Of course.
But yeah, no, it is good to know, like, especially with the other episodes, like, where do we end up? I think all the editors are constantly talking with each other, where do you guys end up? So, like, when we set you up, like, we'll, you know, properly introduce that moment.
Right.
Well, it's almost like what we were talking about earlier with, like, Rom, of, like, that shot that we saw in last episode to set you up for, like, this entire episode.
Sure,
so like
sure.
The different, like, how communicative you guys have to be in order to this shot is going to be really important.
Yeah.
Maybe not until episode 6, but it has to be there kind of thing.
Sure.
So
for sure.
Oh yeah. It's some great planning there.
It's very well planned out.
Oh
sure.
Man. All right. So yeah, I'm so happy you shared that message. That was a great message. Really enjoyed that. And I'm also happy that you're on the show, and I'm happy that for the people who work on this show, because it's a great show and we're going to keep enjoying it and we're going to get into this great show.
Yeah.
But first we should know about this other great show.
Oh, well, I just have a question for you guys. Do you want to have fun, learn and grow in all areas of life? For those of you who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. And let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos, and it's free for free. And be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition, you better go check it out, because it's awesome.
Honestly, I
love it. I
mean, you learn from her, but on top of that, you learn from the great guests that she brings in.
It's amazing. And I think you do see different aspects of these people that come on, because we always see like this one idea of these people. Mm-hmm. And then to be able to have that conversation and really delve into different aspects of their life. Like, I know I, as a fan, like relatability and to really hear like all the other stories. So I think it's really cool.
I agree.
Yeah.
Right on.
So go subscribe.
Oh, yeah. Every Friday. And it's free $3.99. So.
That's the best kind of 99 there is. Free 99.
Yeah, I agree.
Sweet.
I got jokes, guys, for days.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
I like that.
All right, y'all. So now let's get into it. So I'm thinking we get into the Rankless Initiative.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So pretty much the Military Guild is going to raid Sector 19. It happens to be Seg's neighborhood. Yeah. And I was like, is this maybe just a coincidence, or is this more to it?
I mean, they're attacking all of them. It's not just Sector 19.
They're attacking all of them.
Yeah, well, all of the Rankless. There's four different spaces, right? Wasn't there four on the map?
Yeah, well, in Sector 19, there was a concentration of Black Zero operatives.
Oh.
So, operations going on. So they were sort of going around.
They were zeroing in.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
On the stronghold.
Yes, on the stronghold, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But okay. Yes.
And so we go over the battle plans with Jaina Primus, mm-hmm. along with Lyta.
Lyta!
Yep.
Lyta.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Get it.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so we learned that it's going to be, like, in a sense, their main priority is going to be Sector 19, because there is that accumulation of a little hotspot of Black Zero, exactly. And then also we get the scene of Lyta and Seg, and Seg's pretty mad at her as to why she risked her life.
Yeah, I mean, I would be too.
Right, but is he in the right though? I mean, like, yo, she risked her life to for the betterment of the rankless, and then you're just gonna be like, hey man, what's going on? Well, at first I guess because he didn't know, maybe that's why he was mad. So I'm guessing I'll chalk it up to that.
I think it's just a lack of communication. Yeah. We'll chalk it up to that. Okay,
because he's just like, oh he backs off once he realizes that, oh yeah, you're right, you know, you did a great thing, I'm so sorry. Which I thought was
I'm trying to protect you, just let me protect you, okay?
Yeah, I wrote like, don't be sore, Seg, come on, what are you doing? Right?
Yeah, I mean, Light is a strong character.
She really is. I mean, I think she proved that even in the last episode, and going into this episode, it was interesting to see where we talked about it in the last after show of how she's going to take over this command. Yes. And fall into that role, because she is such, she seems like a really good hearted, spirited person. But when you've got this type of like obligation and leadership, how do you keep your morals in check? When you have to, you know, take command and actually do what you're being told.
And you have to keep in mind, she's a Zod, too. Because yeah, Zods value honor over everything and strict discipline. And emotions do not factor into that at all. And she's being, you know, she's sort of a hybrid. She, like, wants to support the community of the Rankless because of Seg. So she's relying on her emotions there, you know, her human nature. But she's also fighting that the Zod part of her.
Right.
And also appeasing her mother.
Which I think is a huge, huge thing.
Yeah.
And not even just appeasing her. I think like proving that she's worthy of this position too.
That's a better point. Yeah.
Yeah. Of like, yeah, I want to make you happy. But at the end of the day, like, I just want you to believe that I'm capable of doing this and in my own way too. So that was interesting to see her like completely disregard all commands.
I wanted to bring that up next, actually, because we see that she disobeys a direct order from her mother.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? There's got to be some dire consequences.
I'm scared for her, man.
Right?
I am too.
Like, ugh.
Like, Jaina is not somebody you
mess with at all. I mean, she stabbed her in the first episode. Stabbed the daughter.
So what is she going to do now?
After a simple sparring match? Yeah. She's like,
well, she also, didn't she like kind of go behind her and like reach out to, why am I blanking on his name? Asking about when he was in the communication center. She didn't like
to say.
Right, the communications hub. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's definitely, you know, when she, it was funny because she says that line, Elida says that line of, you know, we're devoid of emotion to make sure this mission will be success. But then she let her guard down with Seg giving the bomb away, essentially that electronic bomb. Yeah, like totally bypassed her mom, like just sort of went rogue and did her own thing because she's trusting Seg. Because earlier, you know, like Seg's like, you know, don't you trust me? And she kind of curbs him a little bit, like, nah, like I got to do my job. Like you gotta trust in me that I'm gonna do the right thing. So there's definitely tension in their relationship in this episode for sure.
Yeah, and it brings up like this like two sides to the same coin of Lyta, where on one hand, she wants to be the best commander she can be. But in order to do that, she does have to, in a sense, give way to all emotion, and also in order to appease her mother and all. But on the other side, she still has that, like, in my opinion, more humanity than the rest of them do in the military guild.
Absolutely.
And that's usually anchored down by Seg and what she does for Seg and what she does for Seg and the Rankless.
Yeah.
So it's like you have this weird dichotomy between her where it's weird because like this puts me at a loss, because if she wants to be the best commander, it sounds like she's probably going to have to get rid of the emotions she has for Seg, or like what's how Seg bogs her down, and it's possible we might see that later on.
I don't know. I think yes and no. I think also with becoming a great leader, sometimes you do have to keep humanity into play. Yes, there are obviously like moves and counter moves and having to be strategic and devoid of emotion sometimes. But other times, like, I feel like her way around dealing with the Rankless got her more respect and got her further working with the Rankless rather than them coming in and just shooting up everybody, which is what they typically do. So her way of gaining trust from those other people because she has that humanity, I think will ultimately put her at a higher position within her in command. I think she'll be more respected by more people rather than just being like, that's it. Like, no emotion. Maybe that's just me. I think, honestly, it would be interesting to see her mother and her having to come to the forefront, because I think that Lyta would be a better and stronger commander than her mother.
Yeah.
Ah, Primus. Lyta as Primus?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
That would just be my, like...
Yeah, that's interesting.
Maybe that's me.
And then what would have to happen in order for Lyta to become Primus?
I mean, she would have to kill her mother. Ooh, maybe, right? Right?
Maybe.
Wouldn't you have to? Unless Wouldn't it mother, be the same type of protocol?
Unless her mother calls for mercy.
Oh.
And she doesn't kill her.
No.
Oh.
Okay, we're getting way too off topic.
Yeah, right, right.
Way too off topic. I'm sorry. I went down the wormhole.
Something I do want to go back and mention during the battle plans. They mentioned the Black Zero terrorist, Jax Ur.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, in the usual canon, he is a Black Zero terrorist, but he's also a person who was imprisoned in the Phantom Zone for destroying Wegthor, which was a populated moon of Krypton.
Wethkor, sorry.
What was that?
Wethkor? Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's like Kryptonian moon.
Okay. No, yeah, it was a populated moon of Krypton. Yeah, so, yeah.
I learned something new.
Yeah, so
thank you.
Maybe
see all the gems. You've got all the tidbits.
I have a feeling. I'm not sure if like this canon will actually carry out, or like what he does in the said canon will carry out, because there hasn't really been too many mentions of like moons around Krypton. You know, but who knows? Maybe there's still a lot of episodes to go. They could introduce a whole new moon with like people in there and. Jack's or
they're not alone, remember?
I know they're not alone, but like that's like Brainiac sense they're not alone. But what about like Kandor and Krypton among with like its orbiting moons? Like they haven't touched on it yet, but we'll see. But yeah, let's just keep that in mind for sure. Jax Ur, that's his name. Oh yeah, so I just wanted to go over that a bit. And then also, oh yeah, I want to see also before we go into that, Dev M, he also like shares his little thoughts on the raid on the Rankless.
Hmm.
And it's pretty much reinforcing what we talked about
last week. Loyalty?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you touch on that again? Because you told me before the show.
Oh, of just seeing his loyalty. I mean, I think he definitely is. Like, you can tell. I mean, I love when I can see actors in their eyes how much they give to the story without even saying anything. And I think you see his true loyalty when he picks up Quex's like uniform and like even walks away and just says, this is your space now. The way he said it with the emotion that was heavy, like you can tell that he's a loyal human being, and that he, as much as he is a military person and he has like his family backstory that we don't really know about, like driving his intensity within the military realm, I think he does really want to protect and give as much guidance to Lyta as he possibly can. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like his heed and warning in that like small scene was just like, listen, it's a command is a command is a command. Like, you have to do what they give you orders. But at the same time, I still feel like he has that underlying humanity that is just waiting to be opened up, like Lyta does too.
Mm-hmm. And but, I think, sorry to interrupt you.
But
yeah, I definitely think Lyta brings out that humanistic side of him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he usually pretty much what I got from it was like he's trying to just like drill into her like his way of thinking about how the military works, but she's just like no. Like,
but then also at the same time he's like, this is what you asked for, and didn't he say something like, I shouldn't tell that to a commander?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What was the line that she said? She said something, and then he was like, I shouldn't have to tell you.
Well, yeah, she was sort of questioning the orders.
Right.
Like, we should do that, and he's like, we don't question.
And then she comes and she comes out with a great line, I believe, after that, where she says, well, I killed the man in order to open my mouth, or something along those lines, where I killed the man in order to question them.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dang, that's also very powerful, too. Like, what's the point of being in a
higher position rather than having a
space? If you have
something.
No influence.
Yeah.
Like she took a man's life in order to get to gain this influence over the fourth squad. So it's just
I think it's a complex relationship for sure. I'm interested to see like how loyal he stays, or if he's going to kind of override her at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like it could go either way.
That's true.
With him. Whether he's going to be loyal or whether he'll like think that he knows better and try and like bypass her.
Yeah, I feel like for them there's going to be a certain critical point where it's going to be blatantly clear what side he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
Probably later on in the future, though, because not in this episode. He's kind of just seen for that little scene, and then we didn't really see too much for that.
No, but he was a powerful scene.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And yeah, so before they move out, Lyta makes a point that no unauthorized weapons or firing or kills will be met and they will be met with severe disciplinary consequences.
That braided action. Girl, what was her name?
Kolda,
yeah.
I didn't trust her from that scene.
Yeah.
I didn't trust her. Her face, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, so.
She's up to trouble.
Just speaking to the editor of this episode, Scott, you know, he did a wonderful job cutting this episode. Yeah. And I'm sure he found that moment where she's a little shifty-eyed there.
Yes.
And that made you not trust her right away.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
So that was definitely a great moment. I agree. Like, you just knew, like, I don't like her.
Yeah. She was almost stepping, like, a centimeter further in front of everybody than in line. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's almost like her having this, like, power, like, I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I'm not going to listen to your orders.
She steps out of line, metaphorically, you know, in the scene, and then later on as we find out.
Yeah. I really, like, what I noticed, like, I really liked the setup to the climax of Kolda killing that Rankless.
Mm-hmm.
Because from the moment you hear Lyta say those words where, like, it will be met with, like, dire consequences, you're kind of already expecting it.
Yeah.
And you're already expecting, like, all right, they set it up in your head. Boom, something's going to happen. What? And then, like, for me, I was like, all right, so what are they going to be those consequences? Because you know something's going to happen. Someone's going to get these consequences she's talking about. And then cut to Shifty Eyes. And then, like, it's perfect. Setting it
cut
up.
Cut to
boom.
Shifty Eyes.
Shifty Eyes, yep. Cold doll over here.
Yeah.
So, and the next thing you know, boom, there's our person. There's a, like, so in our minds, like, okay, her. She's the one who's going to mess something up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's cool because there's, like, slowly tension building. And then you see...
Good job.
Yeah, which I thought was...
Well, good job to Scott.
Yes, there you go. Good job, Scott.
Yes.
So it's like slow tension building until you finally see Kolda. Like, it gets a little out of hand. She shoots an unarmed rankless man. And and that's when you see Lyta come up. And then she serves up justice pretty much to Kolda.
And I think she had to overarch and do something that big and drastic because, number one, all of the rankless are watching you.
Yeah.
How are you going to do this? I've already tried to get your respect and now, like, my people are going behind my back without my orders. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to prove myself to everyone. So I'm going to give out the biggest punishment possible in front of all this audience. Because if not, like, you're not going to get the respect back from anybody, whether it be your troops or the people that you're trying to round up.
Mm.
You know, like, you have to get that and you have to make that big of emotion. But... Yeah.
Sometimes the right thing to do is not the easiest thing to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some people are going to hate you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, with this decision, Lyta, by arresting Kolda, it makes, in a sense, I can see, like, new enemies coming out from within the military guild. But also, I see new, for alliances. Lack of a better word. What was that?
Alliances.
I was about to say homies.
That works too. Homies, alliances.
You got homies. Homie.
You got homies.
My bad. That's my slang coming out of me. No, new alliances among the rankless. Yeah. And like there's possible also from the military guild who share the same sentiment who are going to come out of the woodworks. But like finally like a commander who has some humanity in her who like I actually like her decisions kind of thing.
Yeah.
So and then that might entail go into some sort of game that Lyta will start playing, will like amassing you know alliances.
What if she's a double
military.
Agent
for who for what
oh
what?
Well, she has these orders that she's completely like going against, right? So like what if she starts like not befriending but like getting the relationship with all the rankless and they help her find Black Zero without having the power of like I don't know. Maybe that's just overshooting.
That
you
is
know what I mean?
That is interesting. You did touch on something that because she showed
mercy,
to the rankless. It's possible that they're more likely to help out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of going back to how like the voice of Rao gave Seg the choice to not wear Vex,
exactly.
The Vex sigil. It's like that kind of same principle where like that's how you control them by helping them out in a sense.
Yep,
that's interesting. That's mm-hmm. actually really cool. It's a good point.
They say keep your enemies closer.
Yeah, I think that's a key. That's starting to become like a key phrase here in the show.
Yep.
All right, and so that rounds out that. So she gives that huge, huge punishment for.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't that huge punishment piss off?
Darren.
Darren, thank you.
Yeah. So that's actually towards the end of like that whole arc in a sense where you see Kolda like in handcuffs and they walk past Darren and Nissa.
Yeah.
And then Darren practically just like poops himself. He's like, oh boy.
So was that his plug that he put in the military? That's like his person?
Well, I think he's in that scene, he's panicking because the voice of Rao is who he has to answer to. Like, oh, this whole initiative was a failure.
Right.
And now I got to answer to my golden face boss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's another character I don't want to mess with.
That's actually...
Not at all.
So we just... Yeah, so they just pretty much like tease us that he's in trouble somehow.
Yeah.
And then they don't really go back to it for the episode. So that's for the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he's definitely in hot water.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, so is Lita.
Lita.
Jesus. So is Lita in hot water. Like a Lita. There you go.
There you go. Like a Lita.
Yeah, so there's two people in hot water. So it's Darren and Lita in hot water.
Yeah.
Lita's in hot water with her mom. Darren's in hot water with this voice of Rao. We'll have to see what, save that for predictions for the next episode.
Yep.
But yeah, that's pretty much how it rounds out. And also at the end, it's worth noting that, she disobeyed that order. So, she helps out Seg and gives him the EMP grenade, and that is what helps Seg take out Rom. So that pretty much covers that little story arc for the Rankless Initiative. But Seg and Adam and Kem were up to doing their thing, looking for this parasitic sentry. So pretty much that they found in the Outlands, that little probe thing. So, but before we get into that, so real quick, everybody. Here at AfterBuzz TV, again, we want to be the ESPN of TV talk. But in order to do that, you fans have to do your part in helping us out. So how do you do that? How do you do your part, you ask? I'm glad you asked, actually, because...
how do I do that?
Yes, there I'm you glad go. You asked. Thank you.
I would like to know more.
I'm imagining they're asking
me.
Yeah. So pretty much wherever you find your podcast, specifically, especially if you're on iTunes, please leave a review and also rate 5 stars. And subscribe to our podcast, and then you'll be updated when our new episodes drop. And then you can be, updated on, the talk for Krypton. Why wouldn't you want that?
I felt like a flight attendant over here. I was, doing all the different motions.
There you go.
5 stars.
There you go. And also, if you're on YouTube, give us those thumbs up. Give us that like, because I'm sure you like it. Why wouldn't you? And if you don't like it, tell us. And if you do like it, go ahead and tell us as well. Because I'm reading those comments. Later on, we're gonna try and shout everyone out who comments on our episodes of last week. There's quite a few of you, so thank you so much for turning up, and also the great positive feedback that you have given us. We actually didn't get any negative feedback this time around.
Hail!
Yeah. Super.
That's a long reach.
I know. It's very almost threw out my arm.
Pull it off.
Faster than a speeding bullet. All right. All right, everyone. So yeah, please do your part, and we'll keep bringing on the good stuff for you. Next week, Steph will be back. So unfortunately, I'll be over there. Not unfortunately, actually.
Hey.
Fortunately, I'll be hanging with Candace.
I don't smell. Maybe I do. Apparently, with that pause.
So, anyways, let's get back to the show. Oh. I'm just kidding. You don't smell.
I'm keeping these.
I need them to work.
No.
To protect my super eyes. All right. So, let's get into it. The hunt for the Brainiac Sentry and what I like to call Romniac. All right.
So, good little name.
A good little name, right? All right. So pretty much where we left off, they find this little probe that actually ends up being a case, right, for the parasitic sentry that's within it. And it's definitely coming from Brainiac. So that's established. And so they cut to a flashback, right? We see Rom pick up the probe because she got a new job.
3 days earlier.
Right? They didn't even mention that.
There you go.
So she's part of the salvage. She's part of the lucky new salvage crew member. Who gets to go out into those awesome looking outlands. Look very nice.
And warm. And tropical. Warm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just want to stay there forever.
She got some tanning done. I'm sure. And yeah, so she finds it. And she goes back to the city. She actually ends up selling it off. But that turns out to be a misdirect. Because later on, Adam does steal it. And they take it back to... He takes it back to the fortress. Turns out it's already been activated. Ooh.
But I don't think she, realized. I feel for Rom. I do. Because all she really wants to do is take care of her daughter.
Of course,
that's all she wants to do. And then now, she's doing the best job that she possibly can. And this thing is now taking over her body. The woman can't catch a break.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, it's just bad luck. Do you think she was infected when like...
I think at that shot, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that shot where they like zoom in and the thing opens and her eyes get really big, I almost feel like that was the moment that it kind of like...
The moment of contact.
Where contact, where it latched and she just didn't know.
That was my interpretation of it, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because there's no... Yeah, there's no like... There's no showing of how it infected her.
Mm-hmm. It but could it have been, also like, looked like of... it was very small. It could have been something that just like... And grew, because a parasite grows once it feeds on its host. So maybe it was something very, like, little bitty, because the container that he got was, like, what, that big?
Yeah, it was, like, a little, like, cube-looking thing.
So it could
thing.
Have been a really tiny thing that you wouldn't even notice. She had to have not noticed.
I was thinking it could have been, like, some sort of, like, neurotoxin that, like, sprayed into her. And then, like, it could have been, like, super, what are those called? Like, nanobites that just, like, slowly grow through. I don't know. I don't know what.
Do we know what it was?
Wait, not yet. I guess not like yet. the so way we'll it infected, yep. We don't know yet, but we can speculate. Go ahead and speculate down below as well, everybody. Tell us what you think and how like he Brainiac works, pretty much. I didn't mention in the character corner last week that he is able to control
technology.
He's a technology, but also control humans or control people. And then this is showing how he was able to take over Rom. Like,
yeah.
So cross that one off the checklist out of the many, many, many powers he has. Because once she also turned, let's get into how when she turned, she like straight up smoked. Yeah, it did take 3 days, actually. Also, on a quick side bit, was she infected when she paid her respects to Seg already?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Because it could, like, who knows how long it could have taken her to, like...
Timeline-wise, he had already buried his parents, so she came and gave respects, like, before he had the urn, correct?
It was after he had the urn.
Or right after he had the urn. Yeah, well, I think it's still hot. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, who knows? Comment down below on that, too. I don't think there's, like, a significance to that, but it's possible it could have taken 3 days for her to, like, finally be, like, fully... Or maybe it was a stressful situation that finally like brought her overboard with brain being taken over by Brainiac. But who knows what the catalyst was really to fully... It could have been time. It could have just been like something stressful. Who knows? I would love to hear speculation, though. And so she like straight up slays like three of these military guild dudes.
She looked like it was very easy for her.
Yeah, so I'm guessing she got like super... I'm guessing whatever was Brainiac... infected her with gave her like superpowers then, right? It had to be because that's something that Brainiac himself has, so it's possible she Intel just like grew like all buffed up. Just
well, I mean, again, it's like a parasite, so if you're making a derivative from yourself and making it into a parasite, like you would essentially take over some of the powers from the original host, right? That would make sense.
I will say, just as a comic book reference for anyone who's interested in that kind of
lay
thing,
it on us,
A major influence on that sort of sentry type thing was introduced in Brainiac number one from New 52. For anyone who knows this, like when the Forever Evil crossover event happened, they had one-shot events for all the villains, and Brainiac number one was a comic book all about Brainiac's backstory. Mm-hmm. And one of the things introduced into that was that Brainiac could empower other beings with his abilities. That's something that I know the writers took note of and put into the show. So I'm glad you got to note of that. That like, oh, it's a new power, like a new thing.
I mean, there are like a lot of similarities when we see the last shot. Like, obviously, he's all green in the eyes. She had the eyes and like the green pulsating through her arms and stuff. So like, there were a lot of like tie-ins together between the two.
By the way, that was great special effects too, and like makeup.
It made my eyes water.
That green skin, like it was like skin, but also looked a little hardened too.
And glowing.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Our visual effects teams are great.
And those eyes, really good. I kept thinking there was like ones and zeros just like crossing through or like going through her eyes.
Well, like, they were like the symbols, like numbers, right?
Yeah,
symbols. They're symbols of their language.
I was trying to, because if I had a chance to like zoom in on it and see what it said, but like I think it's Kryptonian, but I can't be for sure, but it looks like it's this digital readout.
I'm assuming it would be too, because isn't she supposed to be there to take in all of the information from Krypton? So it's like if she went into the communication center, she probably like ingested all of Kryptonian information
that would
and
make
it was
sense.
Reading over her eyes.
Yeah, so that's and that leads us to like the final showdown pretty much. Yeah, so at the communication station. Communication station, all right. I like how that sounds.
We call it the communications hub. So
communications hub.
Yeah.
That's okay too. All right. So yeah, back at the communications hub, so we see a fully developed what I now call the Romniac. And she's so she's plugged into the system and she's like becoming one with the station, which inevitably she's probably just downloading everything about Krypton. And
then she destroys it. Does she ingest it that quickly? Because she basically just like tore it out.
Yeah,
but she was like hooked into everything, and all of a sudden she just like tears out the map. Or whatever.
Maybe to gain more access to it, or I wouldn't know why she would
just plug it in.
Just plug in.
That's what I was guessing. Like, it would like tear it out so she can plug in more.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so that's when you see the showdown between her and Seg. And Seg looked like he's gonna be out for the count because you see her like you see the technopathic powers she uses to like choke him out with like
the cord.
Yeah,
scary.
Yeah, it was very death by hanging. It was just really
bad.
But
kudos to him for keeping his calm during that moment and like really using the emotional aspect to get her to like remember her daughter, even if it was for a split second.
Mm-hmm.
That was enough split second that all he needed to like get what he needed to like blow everything
real quick
out.
I don't know if it was just me, but I got like when I saw that scene, I got echoes of Batman versus Superman, where it's like, Martha, you need to save Martha. It was like Seg telling Rom, like, think about your child, you know, you love her, think about how much you love her, don't do this, fight the thing that's inside of you. So he pleads to her humanity, whatever humanity is left within her, and that kind of messes with Brainiac's programming within her, which was interesting. What do you guys think about that? Do you think like love has something to do with stopping Brainiac?
Ooh, I didn't think about that, but that could be like his downfall.
Love? Human emotion?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You'd have to have a lot of it in order to.
In the comics, Brainiac's downfall has often been his hubris. Like, he just overlooks, because he's a computer, so he looks through every single type of scenario possible that he could be defeated. But every time he's been beaten by Superman or whoever, it's always something he overlooks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think hubris, obviously, an emotion that plays into, you know, so it could easily be something that
he overlooks.
He just overlooks one variable.
Because computers can't process emotion.
Right.
They can dictate like what it is, but they can't feel it.
Yeah, they can study it, but they will never be able to have it themselves. Well, at least that's as far as we know, you know, where we're at in like human civilization.
AI and all that good stuff.
Yeah, all that good jive. But that's here nor there.
That's a cool idea, though, to think of like what would be his demise. What is that one like weak little Achilles heel that you have to figure out.
Because so far in the show, like, I don't know what's going to stop that ship. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And it looks so gross.
I know.
The little feelers and stuff at the bottom and the vines.
Yeah.
Are they vines or veins?
Tendrils.
There you go.
The other tendrils.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that ship though, the way it looks.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Pretty.
Yeah.
I'm over here like, and you're like, I love it.
I get some kind of like, what is it, H. Geiger kind of like style to it. The person in charge of the arts department for the first Alien movie, or like his influence on all that.
Art.
Yeah, it was very like, it's like bioorganic, like goodness.
And I don't know if you guys are familiar with. When Tim Burton was going to direct a Superman movie like back in the 90s called Superman Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they were trying to make the skull ship work in that when they were going to make the movie.
Right.
And so I'm sure there was inspiration drawn from that. Yeah, from
That's cool.
And then we did our own thing with it, obviously,
of course,
to make it cool. But yeah, like it's massive. It's a monolith.
Yeah.
Ship.
I don't think we've seen how big it really is.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any like relation to like see the scale.
Yeah,
we know
it's bigger than like these asteroids that keep hitting it, but we don't know we'll have to see how
the scale relates. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can't. Well, I guess we'll have to see it once it like arrives next to Krypton. It's just like boop. Krypton and like Brainiac. So we'll see. But yeah, so that showdown goes down. Seg is able to save her and takes her out. We're not sure if she's. Yeah, I was about to say we're not sure if she's like capable of being saving. They bring her back to the fortress. She's laying down. There's no indication of whether she's being able to be saved, but they're gonna try. So
all the information's already been transmitted, according to.
Yeah, that's a big thing of the episode where everyone's just like looks at each other like. So it turns out
it's already too late.
Romniak herself was the transmitter.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So boom. So yeah. So pretty much what I get. So where do we go from here? I think Brainiac is making a beeline straight to Krypton.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right? He's on his way. Like
he's close.
He's out, confirmed. Let's go.
Is
full
that
steam
how he talks?
Ahead. Yeah. Full steam
ahead. Put again. It in the GPS.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. On his
tom-tom.
All right,
we're going.
He calls
Let's
it.
Do
but
this.
Don't use Waze. Though.
Knack, knack.
No, because Waze will take you down the back road, so you can't turn left.
Yeah, you can't
use Waze. Yeah. He's using something else.
He created himself. He's like, no, I'm not using Waze. That's my.
I use my
that's
own
a child
GPS.
I don't talk about. All right, so yeah, so that's pretty much wraps up the episode portion. Did we miss anything or anything else you guys want to touch on or comment on for this episode?
No, I think we pretty much covered most of it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Real quick, we have about 7 minutes left. I'm gonna cut the character corner real quick. And
just check on social media, and he can share his character corner there.
I mean, I will now. So
I just made him do that.
No, yeah.
Check out my social media. I'll put it on there for you. I'm just
no, yeah, we'll share it on. I was actually gonna cover Jax Orr. There's not too much on him, but yeah. So he's just like the Black Zero terrorist. I'm sure we'll learn more about him as the show progresses.
Yeah.
I do, however, want to give out some fan shout-outs. So some YouTube commentators that we saw in last for the last episode. Oh, you don't have it open. I like that
no.
whole back and forth thing.
You
want to
put it here and I can read part
I mean,
of it? Mine died.
It might be a little
Brainiac
hard.
Brainiac got to it. It killed it.
All right. So I'll go first. So Tribe Master.
Brian McGee.
Andrew Martin.
Cliff Washington.
Targaryen Batman.
Yes. Gibbs 615.
Thank you so much for commentating.
Thank you very much.
And supporting. Really appreciate all that you've done for us. I'm actually going to have to skip news and gossips as well because I feel like our predictions are huge today, like this
yes!
time around. Like.
And now.
Oh, that's new.
That was great timing. Good job.
Thank you, Marissa in the booth. Shout out to Marissa Serafini.
Yeah.
Nailing it. All right, so predictions. I have some already like queued up, but I want to hear like what you got going on.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, I think you've talked a little bit about it. Obviously Lyta is one of my favorite characters, so I'm interested to see like where she goes with this complete like deliberate avoidance of orders of how that's going to strengthen her leadership and how much it's going to play into like her alliances with the Rankless and how much alliances she's going to have with Seg, because I think that the two of them have such a special relationship, how much she's going to get brought into, because she did see Rom when she was like already like knocked out. So she knows that there's something bigger in play outside of Black Zero. And I
right.
wonder how much she's going to divert and like go away from Black Zero and kind of do like a covert like operation. So I'm seeing like a divided alliance where she's almost like a double agent of like playing her role and appeasing her mother, but also like doing what she knows is right and keeping her humanity and like becoming the strongest leader that she possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also interested to see if like Rom is going to pull through, if they can like, I mean, the information's already been transmitted accordingly.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they can take the parasite off of her and she can share like what she may know,
right?
Or if she just dies as a host now because the parasites used her for what it is. So those are like my two biggest like questions and predictions.
Real quick, but piggybacking off of that.
Yes.
I love all your predictions. It's really hard to follow you up. but yeah, so going off of for Rom and what's left of Romniak, pretty much what I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be cool if like you are able to, you know, in a sense boot her back up, but she's not the Rom that we used to know. But and she also can't be set like given back to society to like live her normal life. So what if she like just hangs out at the fortress and helps out Seg, and slowly we start seeing like Seg's kind of like go to team for helping stop Brainiac. So she becomes a part of a member of this like Seg team. Seg.
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of cool because then she's also maybe some remnants of Brainiac's powers have stayed with her, and she becomes like a big proponent on. you know, leading the fight for Brainiac.
I'm also interested to see where Strange goes, because didn't he ask about his little, like, time travel thing?
The Zeta Beam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not working.
It's not working.
So I wonder how that's going to play into everything.
So he's, for now he's, that's all right. He's stuck on Krypton right now. Mm-hmm. So.
Is that going to affect his powers the longer that he stays? Because he's not supposed to be in that realm to begin with.
Who knows? Maybe he might turn into a Superman himself. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that would be a twist. Forget all the rules. We're just changing it right now.
Also, another factor affecting Rom, what's going to happen to Ona and her daughter? Is Kem going to be a father now? They are related. I believe Ona, Rom's his sister, because Ona calls him uncle, I believe, or says go with uncle.
Or it could just Uncle be a Cam. Friend. Like, I've had friends where I'm like Aunt Candace and I'm not really the aunt.
They could be a friend, yeah. I did read somewhere that they were related.
Are they related? Do we know? Or is that like a crucial thing we're going to find out?
We explain something in the next episode.
Yes! So we'll find out next episode. Spoiler,
All right. And there's also Lyta disobeyed her orders from her mother.
Mm-hmm. And roasted. I'm also interested to see where Darren goes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, like, do you think Primus is going to hold back on her punishment at all because it's her daughter? Or do you think, like...
I think she's still going to punish her, but I don't think that she's going to do it to the full wrath that she would to anybody else.
I feel like she's just going to stab the other hand just to make it right. Like,
like even you out. Here you go.
I don't know. What do you think is in store for Lyta? You might know, but...
What's your predictions, huh?
Let's see. Yeah. Let me tell you everything now. Good. You'll see.
Aw,
dang it.
You'll see.
I was going to try and trick you and get some predictions out of you.
Right?
No.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't really like be in... You can't give any predictions.
No, I can't. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
That's my curse, you know?
It's a blessing and a curse, right?
Yeah, it is.
As a fan, you get to know all the spoilers.
Right.
But yet, you can't share them with anybody.
No, I can't. All right.
Candace, study his eyes when I say this next one.
Okay, go.
All right. So, I also want to know, how many episodes till we see Brainiac knocking on Kandor's door? Ooh, steal. Like the Man of Steel. Steel lied.
He's good. Yeah, he's good. Real good. I can't read it at all. All
right. Well, I don't know. Let's take a bet. How many episodes till Brainiac is at Krypton's doorstep?
We're at episode three.
So we're at three. Just give like the episode number.
Six.
At episode six? I
think five would be premature because you have 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But six gives it enough longevity that you have four episodes.
My gut's telling me eight for some reason.
You think eight?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's because like the whole the eighth episode is where things go down.
Seven or eight.
I think seven or eight is around there. Yeah. Right on. I agree with that. Give us comments as when do you think Brainiac is going to, like, fully Brainiac's going to be knocking on their doorstep? Because I'm interested, like, how long till we see him, you know? Because then that's when the review. Ooh, that's when it's just going to be like.
A showdown?
It's going to be like B Day, Brainiac Day. Ooh, like D Day. Never mind.
Sure. You try.
Nice. Yes.
I love teasing you.
So, with all these predictions in hand, everybody, please speculate down below in the comment section. Also, thank you everyone for joining on the live chat. Unfortunately, we did not have the live chat open because there's only two of us. And we're focused on so many other things.
Yeah, of course.
But for next week, Steph will be back. So I'll kick it with you guys in the live chat. It'll be Soup Anthony because I love soup so much. Just kidding. That was a terrible joke. Thank you.
I liked it.
Candace.
I'm just giving you the eye. I'm sorry. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We love this after show. Please be sure to comment and subscribe. And hit me up on social media. You can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz. And let me know what you like and your predictions and... any suggestions that you have, because we can always evolve everything from that. So
thank you.
Yeah. And thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Where can everybody find you?
So on Twitter, my handle is Corey Trench, CoreyTrench. You can find me there.
Right on. And do you have any upcoming projects or anything that you'd like us to keep an eye out for?
Just Krypton for now.
All right. Cool. Easy enough. Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Goodbye, everybody. my name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_. Again, it's Tony, the letter B, Tony, and an underscore at the end, unfortunately. But that's okay. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, also as a tease, we'll have another special guest for episode 5. So I believe it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that, everybody. Until next time.
Bye.
Up and away.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. to watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.